Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, this broadcast, this show, this program is designed around you, our listener. It encourages questions and answers. We'd be delighted to entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion. As we face the issues each and every day, we invite your call. You can call 831-0917. The telephone number is 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. We're talking about today signs of the times. Signs of the times. Now, you, as a Christian listener, you would understand that terminology. Those that do not, let me just simply introduce that term, signs of the times. The scripture is filled with signs. That little word sign is the Greek word semeions. We'd call it road signs today, or benchmarks today, or indicators as to what we're doing, where we are, and what time we're living in. You see, the Bible gives us clear indication as to what to look for and how to identify where we are as a society. God's Word has already given us what to expect and how to expect it. We're looking forward to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by way of the rapture of the church, and then the 7 years of tribulation under the domination of the Antichrist, one that the Bible calls the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist. But ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the last of the last days, and I can show you that in the scripture. We'll touch on some scripture references today, and then we're going to talk about some of the indicators of the last of the last days. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Those words are spoken in John 8, 31 and 32. And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And then in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus makes a declaratory statement when he says, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that we need to look at, listen to, follow, and adhere to. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his writing, in his book entitled 1984, George Orwell says, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we're at that state today, we're at that juncture today, where the media and the masses, including the political correct group in the Beltway in Washington and across our nation today, they would have you believe somehow, some way, the truth is not truth. Truth is talking about the fidelity to the original. When we go back to the fidelity of the original, we're talking about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And I believe that's where we're headed on the fast track today. As Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we're on the fast track for separating the wheat from the chaff, separating the true from the false. And that comes to the point, will you be willing to compromise or stand for truth, even if it means death? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They have staff that can answer all of your questions about professional and homeowner lawn care and the equipment that is needed for that. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a good benchmarker there. It's the gigantic flag. It's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the American flag flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. I've got a little bit of a confusing story here. It says New York State just passed a concentration camp bill to forcibly throw people into camps, just like the Nazis did in World War II. But then there's a paragraph here that says, should the bill get signed into law by Governor Andrew Cuomo, even healthy people who are deemed to be contagious could be scooped up and thrown into prison camps. Did you hear anything about this?
I've not read that article, but more than likely they're using, I don't know the source of that article. There's some out there that use some hyperbole in their writings, and they're twisting the words and giving it a very, very unusual sound. If anything, I would say what they're doing is preparing a place to place those that refuse to take the COVID vaccination. They've already introduced legislation and on the fast track for passing it that will require every human being in New York State to take the COVID vaccination. And we're already seeing indications across America where there are those that are saying that, in fact, I read an article this morning, said it's the Christian conservatives that's going to be the major cause of the major recurrence of the COVID pathogen because they're refusing to take the vaccination. In the state of New York, they have already passed legislation that you cannot use religious exemptions to not take the COVID vaccination. There's an approach to force everyone to submit and surrender to that. Now, I'm thankful that in the state of Florida, as you know, Bob, our governor said that there's not going to be a mandate for a COVID pass. That is some kind of clearance that allows you to buy, sell, trade, and to shop and travel unless you have that COVID pass. Governor DeSantis has already said that he's going to sign the law that will prevent that from taking place in the state of Florida. Howbeit, if we do that in the state of Florida, it's not going to change the fact that state after state after state across America is now introducing legislation to require that. In fact, I'm saddened to see that even today, they're bragging, in fact, on the Communist Network News this morning by 5:36 o'clock, they were bragging about the fact that Joe Biden, President Biden, is now saying that he's going to, this week, start allowing the vaccination to go to 16-year-olds and up. It's going to cause major paralyzation, major sterilization, especially with the younger age group today in America. And so, if anything, Bob, and I've not read the article again, I say, but I believe they would be talking about that preparation for some kind of encampment, as they would be calling it, our institution, our facility, to put all of us, if we're in the state of New York, all of us that say no to the vaccination.
Yeah, I wonder when they'll start bringing in the guillotines.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me any day, because we're reverting back, and that's what we'll talk about today. As the scripture says very clearly, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be in the last days before Jesus Christ returns. So, Bob, how do you take that? What does it mean in the days of Noah? What do you understand from that?
Well, we talked about that yesterday, about Genesis 6. And there seems to be a discrepancy. I tried to do a little research on it. Still haven't made up my mind yet. I know you're pretty dogmatic that it's not the fallen angels. But I don't know. I would think that something major happened in Genesis 6, and I don't know yet. I really don't.
Well, you're right. In fact, let's take a moment, and then we can get back to the main theme, and that's still touching on Genesis 6, because in Genesis 6, beginning with about verse 5, the scripture says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination and thought of his heart was constantly on evil, continually. That means he was continually thinking about evil, wicked things. But that starts out with and, that's conjunction, as you find in the English grammar. And it picks up after the first four verses. And the first four verses is what you and I touched on and talked about yesterday. It came to pass, verse 6, in chapter 6, verse 1, and it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And you go back and you look at, for example, chapter 5, verse 31, and you find there that Lamech lived 777 years. Verse 27, you find that Methuselah lived 969 years. You look at verse 23, and you find Enoch lived 965 years. You go back and you see that Jared lived 962 years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that number of people, you find rapid multiplication by the multiplication factor that is almost astronomical when you look at it. And it says, and they began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. A statement that the sons of God, now you'll find sons of God, and this is where the whole thing comes into a calamitous disarray with the theologians and theological thought on it, because they say that sons of God are talking about here angels. It says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. It is the godly line, the Sethite line is what it's talking about, the sons of God. And I can go through Scripture, probably 15 or 20 different verses of Scripture that will verify in the total Bible that the sons of God is referring to those that are Christians in the Old New Testament, as we would talk about it today. In fact, you find that in verse 12 of chapter 1 of John's Gospel, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the authority, to become the huios, the sons of God, even to them that believe, pistuo, on his name. And I could go scripture after scripture after scripture about the sons of God and who the sons of God are in the scripture. You find then further, going back to Genesis 6, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. That means the sons of God, the if you put it in the vernacular of the Old Testament, the God-fearers, we call it in the New Testament, the Christians, the God-fearers saw the daughters of men, that is the ungodly line. They saw the daughters of men that were fair. They looked good. And they took unto them wives of all that they chose. They were doing what pleased Seth. It was the ungodly line commingling with the godly line. You go back to the New Testament, you find that God says, come out from among them and be you separate. There are a lot of folks today that will say, well, you know, if I marry Johnny, I realize Susie will say I'm going to marry Johnny, and I realize he's lost as a green ball in high weeds, but if I marry him, maybe I can get him saved. No, that's not a biblical concept at all. It's the missionary marriage. The missionary marriage doesn't work in that case, generally speaking. But going back to the Old Testament in Genesis 6, the scripture says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Now, it's 120 years before the flood, because that's about the period of time, according to the further references, that it took Noah in building the ark. During that period of time, God's spirit was striving with man. God's spirit was working with man to submit and surrender to God. And the scripture says, verse 4 now, there were giants in the earth in those days. Now, it didn't say that it was a result of fallen angels. It didn't say that, and they had sons and daughters, and they were giants in the land. It says there were giants in the land. It's a benchmark. And you go back and you find in Numbers chapter 13, verse 32 and 33 and following, you find the giants in the Nephilim. They were armed warriors. They were also huge men of that era. Keep in mind, it was before the flood. It was before man was wiped out in the flood. And as one theologian said a number of years ago, when Noah was building the ark, he had his sons, and he said, son, go over there and bring me that tree. And his son walks over and puts his arm around it, plucks it up, comes over and says, Dad, is this the tree? Because they were so large in that day. There were giants in the land, in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare them children to them, the same became mighty men. That mighty men talks about renown. Talks about well-known. It talks about that fame of those of that era. Was not talking about grotesque, monstrous beings. In fact, just ponder for a moment if it were possible that were fallen angels cohabitating with earthly women, producing a grotesque, monstrous hybrid of a person, where the references to that, where the, if you please, anything that would be considered relics of that, where is anything that would show that? Not one thing that's ever been discovered that would show that, where it's half man and half beast, any type like that. And you study the scripture and you find that Jesus himself said that in heaven we will be like the angels, that is, sexless beings that are not married nor giving in marriage. And I could go into great detail as I have in the teaching session. I look at it in presenting this study, the circumstances revealed, and I look at the background that I just gave you briefly. They will look at the customs recorded, and the custom was pursuing marriage. And that's exactly what they were doing. The godly line, Sethite line, which is going back to Genesis 4:26, the line of Seth. And then the ungodly line. Remember, it was Cain that killed Abel, his brother. And then you look at the pleasure-mindedness, all of which were doing that which pleased Seth. And then the pronouncement, and God said, this is a caution. God's coming judgment is going to take place, according to verse 3. He said, my flesh, well, spirit will not always strive with man. So going back to that, the fact that some teach, and I would tell you, majority of those that have not studied the scripture and done the word study themselves will simply follow after some so-called theologian, some preacher that supposedly has gotten the answers. In fact, there's a very famous radio broadcaster that's a conservative preacher that otherwise preaches clearly. And on one occasion, he was preaching from this text, and he said that they were grotesque, monstrous being, half angels and half man, et cetera, et cetera. And even in his yarning from the pulpit, talking about how they must have looked, how they must have acted, how they must have responded to human beings in that era. There's not a shred of evidence for that any place in the Word of God. It is simply, as I put it, where the Scripture says, and there were giants in the earth in those days. If I were to say to you, to our listening audience today, that in Lenny Curry is the mayor of Jacksonville today, that's a benchmark. That's setting the benchmark as to a point in time and what is being said. It has no connotation of a fallen angel, no place in the scripture that will validate that as a fallen angel. Angels do not procreate. Angels do not marry, nor the given in marriage. Angels are sexless beings. The same number of angels that God created to begin with, the number of angels today, albeit a third of them fell with Lucifer, Satan, and as a result of that, they're the demons in the world today. I don't know if that gives you a little better insight. But the bottom line is, when it gets into the balance of the study of the book of Genesis in the sixth chapter, it talks about that continual thought and mindset on evil and wickedness. And that's exactly where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly where we are today in relationship to what is taking place in our world. It is evil continually. Bob, I pray that partially answered your question, if nothing else. We could spend hours on that study. It's a fantastic study, but I would challenge you to get into the word study, not read behind a commentator that has lost his mind.
Well, I called you. I called the expert.
Well, I don't consider myself as the final answer, but I do consider the fact that I know what the scripture's saying, especially in that text that we're talking about. So I'm thankful for you, brother. Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the signs of the times. And the signs of the times goes back to what he said, and I just touched on very briefly with our caller Bob on the line, but I touched on the fact that in Genesis, the sixth chapter, it talks about what is taking place in the days of Noah. And God saw that the earth was, that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was on evil continually. Verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. The scripture says in the 13th verse of Genesis chapter 6, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from the earth, them with the earth, talking about what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today signs of the times. And we're looking at today, ladies and gentlemen, when we find the coming to fruition what God's Word says in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and verses 36 and following. That's the reason I referred back in a moment ago to Genesis 6. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Son of Man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ in his return, is going to come back when no one is concerned, no one is looking forward to it, no one is expecting it, no one is saying it is simply a time in which we find today, just as in the days before the flood and the days of Noah, where there's the eating and the drinking, the marrying, the giving in marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, it's simply saying in the last days before Jesus Christ returns that we'll find people living carefree, not interested in spiritual things, partying and eating and drinking, literally no thought for tomorrow, no thought of anything but living it up today for what they want to do, not concerned about, not caring about anything in relationship to spirituality or the hereafter, as some would put it. So just how was it in the days of Noah? Every imagination and thought of his heart was only on evil continually, according to the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it antithetical to anything that would be called biblical truth to say that somehow, some way, that we're not living in the last of the last days. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that perilous times shall come. And that word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, treacherous. And that's what we see taking place in our world today. Ladies and gentlemen, it is simply unheard of to think that somehow, some way, that we will not be in that time. In fact, Dr. James Dobson says this. He says, our nation is teetering on the edge. Following Biden's first solo news conference, Dr. Dobson says the nation is teetering on the edge, and soon it could be forever too late. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said many, many times now on this broadcast that we're living in the last of the last days. We are teetering on the edge, and I think we can reach a point of no return as a nation. I think it's entirely possible to reach a point where you can't draw it back, you can't pull it back, you can't change it, even with the change of leadership in Washington, even with the change of leadership in pulpits across America. I believe we'll reach a point of no return. That's what Dr. Dobson is talking about here. He talks about it. He says, with Biden, he has advanced his far-left policies, most often by executive order, and continues to blame President Trump for the problems that he's creating himself, even as he takes credit for the successes that he inherited from President Trump. Dr. Dobson says, through it all, President Biden nevertheless accuses Republicans of continuing the policies of division. He even questioned whether the Republican Party would still be here in 2024. How this man could say such things with a straight face is beyond me, Dr. Dobson said. Yet it seems that he is willing to say anything to cram his radical left agenda, down the throats of all Americans. Dr. Dobson says it's more clear than ever that our nation is teetering on the edge. Are Christians at long last aware of this horrible reality? He, end quote. Finally, he says, and are we finally ready to stand up, let our voices be heard before it's forever too late? He said, the media have been satisfied with Biden's news conference, but freedom-loving Americans and people who hold true to the Judeo-Christian values should rightfully be outraged at what we see taking place in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the signs of the times. We're talking about what we see taking place in America today that indicates that God's word, the prophetic eschatological text of God's warning to us as to what to expect, is coming to full fruition. I'm looking at an article entitled The War to Destroy Christian America. It's written by David Horowitz, a Jewish man. A Jewish famed author, this writer, this article says, is warning Christians of the danger ahead. He says they, Christians, are targeted by the secular leftists. They want to destroy Christianity in America. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. This is not a Christian saying that. It's a Jewish conservative that's making that statement, David Horowitz. He said persecution against Christians is already happening in America today. Further, he states, Christianity, once the backbone of American civilized Judeo-Christian society, is under a cruel and relentless attack. David Hurwitz warns the left-wing activists working in tandem with the Democrats and radicals are attempting to tear down our religious freedoms in our nation today. He goes on to talk about they are waging a war against Christians in courts and through the media. He urges that even Jews and everyone who believes in God would be in danger if Christians are not protected. Already some extreme fringe groups, he says, are resorting to horrific violence to kill innocents, God-fearing worshipers, sometimes in their own churches. His dark agenda, he talks about Biden and CNN, his dark agenda shows how liberals and their radical allies envision a new millennium in which Christianity is fully banished in America. Hurwitz argues that Judeo-Christian values are the very root of American democracy and success for our nation. He says, kill off such values and all of our freedoms will perish overnight. Further, Hurwitz says, he also warns that Obama was the mastermind of the anti-Christian left, and now many of his acolytes are working with Biden and Harris to re-implement those very dangerous things in his agenda. David Hurwitz makes an impassioned plea, warning of the grave danger to our religious freedoms and our very lives if we let the secularists win and Christianity become destroyed, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what I'm wanting us to understand today, that we're in the very throes of seeing America's demise as a result of the overthrow of Christianity and the prosecution and persecution of Christians that is on the increase in our nation. And it goes back to what the scripture says. We need to be able to understand and recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the signs of the times. These things are not happening by fluke. It's not by accident. It's not some strange phenomena that we ought not to understand and expect to be taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, it's because we're watching the signs of the times. We're watching what is taking place with people living in a carefree mindset. You'd be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, how many people I've talked with, and I've said something to them about this eschatological prophetic truth of God's word and what God's word says will be the sign of the times in the last days. And they basically, with a nonchalant, I could care less mindset and attitude. The whole thing is, ladies and gentlemen, so many people, unless it affects them personally, their philosophy is, let me keep on working, let me keep on bringing in the paycheck, let me buy my home, buy my things, get the goods, have the refrigerator filled, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If it doesn't impact me, I'm not concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what God's word says. And God's word says perilous times shall come. We're at those perilous times today. We're watching what the Bible says in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, their thoughts, every imagination and thought of his heart was on evil continually. Chapter 6, verse 5 in Genesis says, chapter 6, verse 11 says, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was absolutely filled with violence, the scripture says. And then in verse 12, all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are truly living in perilous times, the last of the last days, dark, dangerous, desperate, devastating, and difficult, treacherous times. And it's not that I want to dwell on that as a negative thought, but if we understand where we are, it should mandate and motivate us to move and stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen as Christians, not sit back in subjection, not sit back in silence, not sit back on the basis of some way compromising in order to go along and get along. We need to take a stand, ladies and gentlemen, and understand the dangers that are before us. We're going to talk about some of these things that are indicators of the last of the last days. We'll talk about some of these things after the news break. We're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break, ladies and gentlemen. And right after that, we will be right back with continuing to face the issues. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.